Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, hey. To Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Oh, not ready for that.
I knew you weren't. That's why I started when I did. So this week on the show, we'll be talking a little Raw 30, the highest selling gate in Raw history.
That we attended.
That we attended. You know, you're welcome, WWE, for that.
It was all us.
It was. We are also obviously be talking about the Royal Rumble.
That happened?
Yeah, that happened. A lot of things
Saturday,
talking about.
Right?
Yeah,
gotta
man.
Gotta love the Saturday.
I love that WWE did that. That's we've
it
been saying
makes
that for
more
years.
Sense.
Yes. So
still fading towards the end, but still.
Yeah.
It was nice not to have to get up the next day.
Yes. So we'll hop into Raw 30 real quick, hit some highlights from that. Being there in person was really cool. Obviously we talked to a couple people that weren't at the show and saw it on TV, and they said it came off pretty well, and it was still a really good show for the at-home viewer.
So, they nailed the fact that it was supposed to be fun. It was.
Yes.
They also nailed the fact that they weren't trying to overshadow anybody with any legends.
Yeah.
Legends were there for one purpose, and it was to get the current people.
Yes.
Over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, with that being said,
mm-hmm.
What do you think the most or the biggest letdown of the night was?
I think this is a pretty common opinion, and that is the lack of a steel cage match.
Okay.
I mean,
I knew that
I was, at least me personally, I felt like you were excited for the steel cage match too.
Yes, but I took it as a completely different. I knew why they did it.
Yeah. We found out why they did it for time constraints, but.
Yeah. I mean, there's time constraints, and I get it. You want to cut down the women's match and not any of the other matches. Look, I get that. I get it. People are allowed to have their opinions, whatever, whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch on that.
Okay.
What I will say is I understand why they did it. And I, after the fact, like I knew it was continuing a storyline. Obviously. I mean, obviously. It was a 3-on-1. And it's kind of a circumstance that Becky's never been in before. Like, she's always been, like, the man, and she can overcome anything. Like, this is the first time she's ever had to go 3-on-1 for a long period of time. And she's actually, like, she doesn't have the upper hand.
No.
At doesn't. All.
No.
And that's quite clear from, obviously, Raw. And back, once we get there, the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. It was still, like, did it suck? There wasn't a steel cage match? Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a steel cage match.
Yeah.
But did they pull it off good enough that it made me not really care too much because I was looking more forward to the future and to see how it actually played out?
Okay.
And so far, I like it. I think this is going to do one of two things. And mm-hmm. I'm going to go long-winded on this, and I'm just going to eliminate this from the Royal Rumble talk, too, because I was going to touch on it there.
Okay.
But this, I think this feud goes one of two ways, obviously. Because there's two people involved, sort of, with two others.
Mm-hmm.
But this is either going to end up as a monumental push for Bayley, where she's going to end up beating Becky when it comes to the one-on-one. And Becky's going to kind of put her over, and this will send Bayley off into a different stratosphere where she was before, okay. like main title picture,
uh-huh.
or the man will overcome all the odds and beat down three women to take out the full faction. And it will shoot Becky into even bigger stardom if possible.
Okay.
Which would you rather see?
Which would I rather see?
If it does turn out that way. I mean,
yeah, if it goes the way you're saying.
That's the way. And the only two ways I could see it going. I would hope it just doesn't fall. That third option is just falls flat and nothing ever really gets solved or it's not.
And it was just a throwaway feud.
It's kind of scrapped. Yeah.
Honestly, probably Bayley, because I feel like she's done such great work since they came back at SummerSlam. Nuts. I mean, and this isn't a knock on EO and Dakota. I just feel like they're not up to her level yet, which is why they're with her so they can grow and develop. But yeah, Bayley, I think she got hampered with an injury. She had the whole her and Sasha Banks thing when they were tag champions, and that kind of fell. So probably Bayley, because we've seen Becky, and Becky's great. Don't get me wrong, but I kind of would like to see how far Bayley could go. And she's already really good as a heel. We see that. So yeah, probably Bayley just because it's something different.
All right, I'm leaning that way too,
mm-hmm.
just because I think it's the better of the two stories.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just had something in my mind and I had kind of shortly traveled out of my mind.
That's okay. We can move on.
Yeah, we could probably.
Was that what you were disappointed in, or were you looking for me to say something else?
No, that's disappointed what. I wasn't disappointed in it. Okay. I just thought your opinion, and if you were to poll like 1,000 people, what do you think they'd say? And I was kind of baiting you, knowing mm-hmm. that that's what you're going to say, because Raw 30 in a whole was not. It was a really fun show. It got some storylines. In there,
I think the only thing though was because that letdown, and I think a lot of the crowd was let down, even though we understood. I think that kind of took the air out of the crowd because I think everyone was so pumped up for a cage match between two people who disliked each other in the story, and it kind of because look, you were there, you've seen that crowd died after that.
All right, now I remember what I was going to say. It'll tie back into what you're saying.
Okay,
I mean. I get that. I mean, I get the letdown, but I think they make their way back to this cage match. I honestly do, because I think the next one's Elimination Chamber, right?
Yes.
That's the next pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Bayley and Becky can both be in that. They could both be in a cage setting, and that could somehow, because I feel like that story is just going to further develop after that. That someone cut Becky just says, I want you one on one in the cage, not six on one. Or they build it something like that and ends up. I think this is a feud that goes to Mania.
Okay,
I don't think the payoff is at Elimination Chamber. I think how I would do it, Elimination Chamber would further it and get it past that point and just let it kind of ride until Mania.
Okay, yeah, no,
these two could do that,
yeah,
and it could be done very easily,
yeah.
But I think the payoff ultimately should be a cage match.
I hope it is, because again, I think a lot of people were excited.
Well, Triple H knows that's the end of it. That's a good ending to a feud. That's a
old final way.
The blow off.
Yes,
is in a cage,
mm-hmm.
and then it ends, which I think it should at WrestleMania in a cage.
Yes. So we could still touch on a couple highlights. Obviously, the Bloodline and the trial of Sami Zayn,
that was amazing.
At this point, people listening and watching this. We how far that has gone now, it being tonight, Monday after Rumble. But that segment in itself...
Actually, 8 minutes into Monday Night Raw.
There you go. That segment itself was pure gold. I thought it was perfectly done.
It made you completely forget about what was supposed to happen or what they had originally planned because it was so well done.
And for maybe people that haven't seen Roman live, this iteration of Roman live...
Damn, man.
I turned to Joe at one point, probably after his first pyro, and I was like, this is the guy. Like, this is the guy.
He's the biggest deal that they have.
It is.
And it's not even a debate or an argument. He has the ultimate superstar mm-hmm. treatment.
Yeah.
And when his music hits and he comes out, the fucking crowd eats it the fuck up.
There was, out of the however many they announced on Monday Night Raw, I forget how many they said, but it was sold out. I mean, 95% of people, and I might be lowballing, had the ones up in the air. Like he had everybody eating out of the palm of his hand. Paul Heyman masterfully playing the heel, downplaying ECW, killing the ECW chants. Jimmy and Jay always doing their part, especially Jay standing up for Sammy. Sammy pleading his, well, not really pleading his case.
Didn't even plead his case.
Basically taking it. That whole segment was amazing. And then DX, don't get me wrong, it was good. Kurt Angle was the star of that segment. Him being lost and always wanting to be a part of DX was really fucking funny.
Stupid Angle is the best Angle.
He's absolutely 1,000%.
Oh my god, it's 1,000%. So good.
Yeah,
he's so good. Stupid Kurt is one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I know. We know that. I mean, look, the sexy Kurt,
and little cowboy hat Kurt are two of my favorites.
The Jimmy Crack Corn segment,
yeah, and then the fucking Edge and Angle segments are always fucking good too.
Yeah,
god.
But and also look, the LA Knight with Taker with American Badass and coming Bray. Out and Bray and the passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Like that whole night was great. And then even to cap the night off, which I thought saved that crowd towards the end of the night, was the emergence of Brock Lesnar and screwing over Bobby Lashley for the title. It was
another one that they got right.
It was so good.
See what the big picture is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brock and Bobby at Mania, obviously.
And they furthered that along at Rumble. All right, let's segue this into where we're at, because the men's Rumble kicks off Royal Rumble, which was a kind of a pleasant surprise, because usually that's the end of the show and I'm like kind of wiped at this point. I'm like, oh god, I gotta like force myself to get up and I have to hope that some crazy shit happens or something so I can stay awake. But starting it off, I thought that was perfect.
I thought it was
because we knew what the last match was then at that point.
Yeah. If men's, and this isn't a slight to the women's Rumble, but if the men's were going on first.
Well, the first ever women's Rumble was the main event, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. But you knew if that was starting off, Roman and
you knew Roman were
going to main event.
That, which is great. That just goes to show you just how big of a star Roman is, because not every champion gets that treatment where they main event Royal Rumble.
Yeah, like we said when we were watching it, that last time that happened was Cena, because he was the guy and he was the biggest draw. And it hasn't happened in a long time.
You're not going to be in the Rumble. I will say this. I was thinking about this on the way over. I'm happy that they didn't go like overboard with the surprises. Like, he really stuck to his guns, and he put his roster out there.
Yeah.
And his roster and the storylines had to be the ones that took over the Rumble.
Yes, and they did. Well.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have too much silliness. I mean, Booker T coming out, I mean, hometown pop, but as good as he looked, you could tell that he like we were saying, like Kyle said, he's 5 minutes and out.
Yeah.
I don't know, he didn't make it that long.
It was more than 2 minutes, if it was 2 minutes. Yeah.
He came in, spin-a-rooney, all right, I've had enough, eliminate me. I will say this, there was a little bit too much Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
There was a little bit too much Braun Strowman off in that recipe.
Strowman off. yeah, but look, you had really, like you said, we had really cool moments, a
Bobby
story
and Brock.
In it.
Bobby and Brock was really good. That was like towards the midway point.
Mm-hmm. You had Edge and the Bloodline, Edge and Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Continuing that on, you saw the emergence of Beth.
Yeah, Beth wasn't even in the Rumble, which was even more of a surprise.
That surprised me.
They couldn't put Beth in because it's got to end. Beth has got to be Rhea 1-on-1.
Yeah.
It can't be in a Rumble circumstance.
Or unless they're going to do the mixed tag. Unless you're going to do Edge and Beth against...
You do that pre or post title match. I mean, because that's not going to be that That's not good for her because, spoiler alert, she won the Rumble.
You got to do it pre.
And yeah, but she can't take the L on that one.
No, that's what I'm saying. They have to win. You can get, you can make it a revenge match, a bloody, brutal, maybe not bloody, but brutal match, and still the heels come out because there's more of them than they are of Edge and Beth. You still have Dominic. You still, depending if they use Finn or Priest, you still have those, you know what I mean, the other people. So the heels can still win and prevail overall, but there's going to be a piece taken by Edge and Beth, which is cool. And then that story maybe can end and Edge start something else to get into Mania. But yeah, I think it has, you're right, it has to happen pre-title match.
I think that Edge and Balor is a, that's a strong Mania match. I don't think this ends before Mania.
Also, yeah, you're right. It doesn't have to end with Beth and Edge.
Because they got two nights to fill, and you want to get Edge on the show?
Yeah, so
Edge and Balor is a great...
If you have, even if you have Priest and Rhea go up against those two, and you have, obviously, some way of Finn messing it up and hurting... It could hurt Beth, he could take out Edge, whatever, and then it carry on into Mania because he wants revenge on him. And there you go, you got your Mania match with Edge, which I think would be pretty cool, him and Finn.
All right. So I'm going to hit two. What did you think of Logan Paul's entrance into, or as an entrant into the Royal Rumble?
I think I said it after his third match when he faced Roman. I am good with whatever Logan Paul comes in and does, and I will be happy with it. And he just continues to prove that he belongs making these spots and in that ring, because that moment with Ricochet will, and it will be a moment, because it will continuously be shown on every Royal Rumble for a long, long time as a highlight.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think I said this during the Rumble, I know why we saw him now. Because again, you have two nights of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You're in Hollywood.
Yep.
I mean, I know he's not a Hollywood star, but I mean,
he's social media.
A personality of sorts.
He has what 20 some million followers.
He's somewhat of a draw.
Yeah.
I think this was clearly there for his next appearance would be at Mania against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because you need, I mean, Seth, at this point, if Seth isn't going to be in your main title picture, I think he's above being mid-card, like mid-title picture. Like he kind of, if he's not in the main card, like he's kind of like a specialty now. Like he's like,
if not for the title,
he's like, all right, he's way too good to be bringing down. I mean, he's not going to elevate anyone. He's just going to beat them because he's that good right now. Mm-hmm. He's that over.
Yes.
You want to talk about an entrance? That was crazy. His entrance in Philly at the Wells Fargo, it was absolutely insane.
Yes.
And then when you see him come out at the Royal Rumble, and there was, 55? So I don't know if they're highballing at 50,000. That looked like 55. Looked like more than 55.
Yeah, when we said that, I was surprised because for the Spurs game they just had in there, Spurs and Warriors, it was 61,000. So
I think they lose a lot of seats, with the stage and the setup.
But again, Rumble didn't have a big stage.
No, but I think you lose. It's not this. It's the whole back part.
You're right.
And then you have the whole ramp.
True. Yeah.
So I think I think that would be logical. I don't know if the numbers would add up, but it sounds logical to me.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Either way, 55,000 singing fucking Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Song coming out. Dude, the dude is fucking over. So him and Logan Paul at WrestleMania, I think that's almost a guarantee. Because that's a big-time match.
Yeah.
Big-time matchup.
Yeah, so you got Brock, Bobby. You got likely Rollins, Logan. You got Edge and Balor.
Possibly.
You have Cody. Yeah, Cody going up against Roman, whether that's night one or night two. We obviously don't know. You have Rhea and who she...
Bianca, possibly?
Maybe we find out. Maybe we're finding out right now on Raw. No idea.
Who knows?
So WrestleMania already is starting to stack up pretty quickly as far as possible matchups.
You don't know what Sami Zayn's doing?
Yeah.
Another one of the hottest acts in all of wrestling.
We can move to that match, the main event.
No. I don't want to move to it yet.
Okay.
But I'm saying you have I was just going over the possible Mania card.
Okay.
Like, you have a lot of big-time heavy-hitter matches on that card already that you're building,
yeah,
that you can see being built. You got Becky Bailey. I'm sure as hell Charlotte's going to be doing something important.
Of course. Of course she is. I mean, she has a title still, and I don't see her dropping it before Mania.
I mean, you got a lot of potential for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good potential for Mania. And you haven't even thrown in, like, the maybe surprise people you're going to see.
True. Yeah, I feel like maybe we might see a Bad Bunny. Maybe. I'm not sure. Well, Depending on Logan, I don't know.
I'm surprised we didn't see him in the Rumble, honestly, because he's going to be a playable character.
Yes,
in the 23, game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might see him at Mania. He might do something.
So, do you want to move to the Pitch Black match?
No, I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing about the Men's Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H loves him some Walter.
That was a career-defining performance.
That was.
It really was. He was a backbone of that match.
Bell to bell.
Yeah.
And that's a very long bell to bell.
Over an hour. 11 minutes, I think, the record.
That was Gunther. I'll call him by his WWE name. Gunther put on a fucking clinic and a show. And he...
Yeah, aside from wrestling...
And you know what you got? You got the him and Brock stare down, and you got it ruined. So you still have that teaser out there that some point in time, we could get to see that.
Yes. I would like to see that be like a SummerSlam.
Although they did the same thing with him and Keith Lee.
Yeah, but Gunther has a lot more than what Triple H has.
In full reins.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If Triple H is in power, we would have probably gotten that.
We might have gotten a couple more teases towards that.
But Gunther, I mean, he's already Intercontinental Champion. At that point when Keith Lee did it, Keith Lee really wasn't.
He was still anything. In NXT, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, he might have just got the call up.
Yeah. So I agree. Gunther was amazing. Not only did you have start out number one and work through 29 other guys, but then you had basically a glorified singles match with Cody Rhodes, who come out 30, and they tear it up for, 10, 12 minutes? Because it was just about an hour when the last guy was eliminated, or second to last guy was eliminated. I mean, it was great. I mean, look, you had started off him and Gunther and Sheamus. Like, you had those two in the ring.
Sheamus made it a long time, too. He was over the 50-minute mark.
Yeah, yeah. Gunther definitely MVP of the Rumble, I think, because we didn't even say that.
Cody, it was as predictable as it was still good.
Yeah, of course.
It was still very well done.
Yeah.
Like, Cody didn't come in and, he earned that last one.
Hell yeah, he did.
He definitely earned it. And when he was getting hit by Gunther, and it was hitting fucking right in the pec that he just had surgery, I'm like, my God, this guy loves fucking torturing himself.
Yeah.
Like, he just loves torturing himself. That had to fucking hurt.
I mean, look, anything, I feel like any chop
or... I feel like that's going to hurt regardless, but he probably was like, yeah, make sure every hit you hit me in was right there, just so we can fucking really lay into this fucking
bicep.
Torn pec fucking storyline.
I said bicep, pec. I mean, everything about that, including the ending.
Cody is so fucking theatrical.
And he, yeah.
Like, people think it's like over the top, but it's just like... It's kind of what you want in, like, a drama. It's almost like like a satire to a drama.
Yeah.
It's so over the top that you're like, my God, this is ridiculous.
Like, almost like a parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Cody is a parody of a drama.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, an intense drama. Like, he's like, he's like Scary Movie. He's like not another teen movie.
That's even worse.
He's definitely Chris Evans with a sundae shoved up his ass. I think we know the title of this one. I was
just going to say that.
One with the sundae shoved up his ass. If that's not a clickbait, I don't know what is.
That's a good point. So let's move on to the Pitch Black match. Something that no one expected. What a
great segue. Banana in the ass. Right into the Pitch Black.
We really didn't know what to expect, obviously, because we've never seen a match.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting something completely different. I was expecting the worst. Like it to be black and like they were just fighting by.
You're just
like,
gonna hear the like, mat,
something like that. But like they'd have like almost like spotlights on them.
Yeah, I can thought see where it was you're going.
Be something like that.
I'm glad it wasn't.
No, yeah, I know. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a unique take. Like the fucking face paint on Bray was crazy, and the eyes nuts. What did you think? I'll just fast forward to the ending. What did you think about the ending with Howdy coming out and jumping?
I feel onto bad. LA I feel Knight. Bad because it was botched, and of course everyone had to jump on. He missed them. I get it. He missed the spot, but like.
I don't think he missed the spot.
He did. There's an angle that I saw, and he completely misses him.
I mean, I got what they were going for.
Yeah, and that's
but the thing. Was most intrigued about who, like, the characters that were, one, I didn't know that we were questioning if they're real in the entrance.
Yeah. I thought
there's a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
Or God knows what. But either way, we saw him at the end, and I wonder if this is the Wyatt Six. Because that was, what, four people plus Howdy is five, and then he would be six.
Yeah.
Or Alexa Bliss is six, and he's just the leader. Because Alexa Bliss, I mean, we'll skip a little bit, but Alexa Bliss was visited
by Howdy.
By Howdy and saying, sure. Are you really in control
to
end her match? I thought she was going to win, but now I get why she didn't. But I feel like this should somehow lead her back into that title picture.
How do you figure that?
Like, I get she lost, but I think if she's going to be possessed and go into this darker character or have this inner fight with herself and Howdy, like, I feel like she should snap and this should shoot her right back up to the top. I feel like that's a very character-driven story, and it would be wasteful in the mid card.
I don't know because I don't know if she belongs in the mid in the title picture right now. Like she got the run, or at least the chase, and obviously she lost. But why not?
Are you an anti Blissite?
No. I just got my daughter Alexa Bliss. What is it on a plush for Christmas? No, I like Alexa Bliss a lot. Actually, she's outside of the horsewoman. Outside the horsewoman, she's one of my favorite women superstars. But no, I just think you need other stories that are going to be legitimate and entertaining aside from the title picture, and that's the perfect fit in the middle. Is an Alexa Bliss, and I hope they fucking do something with Nikki Cross too. Because you finally turn her back into what she was when she was with Sanity. She's that crazy.
She was highlighted very well in the Women's Rumble.
She was, yeah.
Do we want to bounce to the Women's Rumble? Or do we want to...
I mean, look, it was what it was.
Women's Rumble, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it wasn't great. And that has nothing to do with the women themselves. It just, I thought, I liked, all right, so let me, I'll give the positive out okay. of what yeah, I yeah, what came right. out of it. I thought Roxanne Perez, Roxy, had a great showing. I thought Zoe Stark had a great showing. The NXT women who were in it, I thought were great. I liked both of them anyway. They were featured enough. And of course, with Triple H being at the helm, you knew they were going to get at least some time to show off with some of the main roster girls. You had some story, not as much as the men. There, a little bit was there.
You had Becky and
Bayley. You had Rhea dominating, and you got to where you needed to get at the end.
You got to see Dark Asuka.
Dark Asuka was a definite positive because people have been clamoring for Dark Asuka forever. So to finally see her in WWE in that character, that was amazing. Nia Jax being number 30.
Not amazing.
It is what it is. Nia Jax, I don't know. I feel like she's a
woman. I will say
Strowman.
It was a big letdown because I was expecting Naomi.
Yes,
I really wanted Naomi to come out. I think the crowd would have went nuts. I think that everyone would have went absolutely apeshit. I mean, I guess if they wanted her to come back or if they asked her and she said no, I don't know. I don't care. It didn't happen. But I feel like Nia Jax coming out and it not being Naomi, I was let down just because of who I thought I would have been more excited to see.
I agree.
I'm just going off of personal preference. I feel like it would have been a hell of a better moment.
Yes, I agree. But look, I'm glad Rhea won. I think she fully deserves it. I think she's the best thing to come out of the crap Judgment Day booking that we had for such a long time. I do feel the Judgment Day has gotten better. Dominic is playing the role of the
asshole,
but the chicken shit heel very well, as much as I can't
and
stand him.
Corey Graves is just eating it up and really ramming it right down your throat.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on the fact that Pat McAfee and his overly Pennsylvanian accent.
Yeah.
Really.
And we talked about this watching it. I don't remember Pat McAfee leaning into his Pittsburgh accent.
Oh my God. Much you like tell he was as in the Rumble. I was like, man, he's really Pennsylvanian and up tonight. But that's the thing. That's just a Pennsylvania accent. I mean, it gets a little harder when it gets to Philly, but
yeah, it was definitely more Western Pennsylvania, definitely more Pittsburgh in what he was saying. But yeah, we both said that. Like, wait, man, I never noticed
it.
Did we
really sound like that?
Yeah, no, no way we sound like that.
I bet you we do.
No, I don't think we do.
Ish. I bet you we're really close. It's the way we have the O's.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Is that, like, we don't do that.
Him.
Yeah.
It was like him.
Yeah,
those O's.
No, we definitely don't do that. I know that for a fact.
I was like, man, he's really.
But that was another really, really good surprise no one expected is Pat McAfee. That and not only great. That.
I him, thought he's entering the Rumble.
Him, Graves, and Cole were phenomenal all night long. Cole was at top notch from the beginning.
I don't know if Cole sat down at all.
No, you're right. You're right. There was a lot of times where you saw him in the background. He was standing almost the entire night.
Like fucking flailing.
Yeah. Yeah. But the one-liners and the things that they were saying were so fucking funny and entertaining.
Yeah.
The commentary team was amazing.
You had to be listening.
Yes.
So you really had to pick up on what they were saying. I mean, and that adds to a lot of the story.
It does. So we'll move on to the main event, which you were fading in the very beginning.
And I picked back up, and then you were fading in the very end.
I was fading. I was trying my hardest. I heard some
deep snores.
Yes, yeah. I was trying my hardest, and like that end after he beat him, it drew out so long, I couldn't hold it, and that's when I fell asleep. But I was able to wake up right as he handcuffed KO, and that pop when Sammy swung that chair was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Because everyone wanted Sammy to stick up for himself. But then again, everyone didn't want the bloodline and Sammy to end because Sammy's been so good with them. But it was just, man, the noise. And they played it again in the video package after it ended. And they made sure to stop the music, and you heard the pop again. It was so good. It was so good. And then you have Jay, who looks so betrayed.
And just beside himself.
Yeah, getting out of the ring and walking away. I mean, everything, like we said, the bloodline can do no wrong. Absolutely no wrong. Everyone in this situation is money. Every last person contributes.
It's the best told story in all of wrestling, and it might go down.
It's not even close.
It might go down in history as one of the best storylines ever.
And we're not even close to done.
We don't know which route they're going to take, because you have a absolutely white hot Sami Zayn intertwined with the storyline with the undisputed champion, who happens to be the head of the table, the head of the company, the head of pretty much everything. Sami Zayn, who hasn't, like, who's basically somehow built himself into this, because he was not taken serious for a very long time when he was coming out as looked like one of the Cuban rebels.
Federale?
Yeah, he came out looking like a Federale.
No, he did. He looked
and
like
now,
he was.
I mean, he still looks like absolutely fucking batshit crazy. Like, he definitely looks like like he was trapped in Jumanji and got out.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like he could at any moment turn to Roman and ask him what year it is.
That's very true.
I can't deny that. You have Cody just wins the Royal Rumble. Had already said his sights are set on that championship.
Yep.
You have Sami Zayn, who's going to be forced into this as well. I mean, you'd be blind, you'd be crazy, you'd be stupid not to have Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns.
Well, you saw what all the reports now, right? So last week there was a leaked photo. You know how they have those souvenir chairs front row?
Mm-hmm.
There was a leaked photo of the print, like on full sheets of paper, I guess they're printing them out, of the graphic that goes on those chairs for Elimination Chamber. And it's Sami Zayn, which looks like he's pressed against glass, and it says Elimination Chamber over top of him with the chamber behind him. So it looks like he's in a pod pressed against glass and it says Elimination Chamber. And someone put over top of it, someone's getting fired for this because that was leaked. And so now they are saying it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber. And that's why he's the
in poster. Montreal.
In Montreal.
In his home country.
Yes. I saw a meme today, speaking of that, and it was a still of Shawn Michaels walking out in Montreal in 97, and it said Roman walking into Montreal for Elimination Chamber.
Jesus Christ.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if there'll be that much hatred, but it'll be pretty close.
Forget about the hatred and the booze.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking pop is going to be absolutely monstrous.
Yes.
This might rival an Austin pop. It might.
You're talking Sami Zayn getting a Road Warrior pop. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How could he not? He is literally the most over person in all of wrestling. Most over person in all of wrestling. I said that twice just to make sure it was rammed fucking home.
Well, how about the fuck you Roman chants?
At the end.
Yes.
It's exactly, exactly what they want. They played it to an absolute fucking tee. And the only way they could get there is that they beat the living hell out of Kevin Owens. Like, they beat the living shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat the absolute piss out of fucking Sami Zayn. That was the only way they were going to get that. Look. You want the heat magnet? Oh my, that was a fucking heat fucking laser gun. I don't know if that's more powerful, but it sounded good.
Look, wait, I do want to focus on one little detail, and I don't know how many people understood the nuance of what happened with that chair shot. Just Roman turning his back and getting betrayed by Sami Zayn with a chair shot to the back. Just like he got betrayed by Seth Rollins. Like, just that comparison to me was huge, to just a throwback to the Shield breaking up and him getting betrayed by Rollins and now getting betrayed by Sammy with a chair shot to the back. Like, it was just like we said, perfect. The bloodline is amazing.
It's brilliant.
If it's Heyman writing this, or if it's Roman,
at this point, who cares?
I want to know who give the credit to, because it's fucking amazing.
We don't give the credit to anyone. We sit back and we fucking enjoy it. We don't overthink it.
Oh, I'm not overthinking it. It's
literally, we just sit there and just watch it all and be like, I literally can't wait to see what's next.
I'm hoping we see something with the bloodline on Raw and they don't make us wait till SmackDown. I'm hoping.
I think because it's the next show and it's that big of a moment, you'd be crazy not to.
I think we definitely hear from
you. Definitely get a segment of some sort.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get all of them. You might get someone trying to talk to Jay. You might get something.
Did you see Jay's, I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter. He put a picture up of him when he had his hands like this in the ring. And underneath it, it just said, "I'm out," with a blood drop next to it. That's it. So is he out of the bloodline?
No.
Completely,
that's what you use social fucking media for.
Exactly.
That's what it was built for. It wasn't built to fucking make fun of and hate everybody. It was, if you're fucking on wrestling, that's what it's there for.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Yes.
It's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Just like Damian Sandow.
Can't argue. I don't know what else to say to that. So I think that'll wrap us up for now, right?
It's a very exciting, like, road to WrestleMania. As roads of WrestleMania could get, this is fucking good.
And the options, dude, as far as everywhere we could go. The
storylines that are still going.
And I'm pretty sure we forgot.
So. And we probably did, but that's the thing, though. That means there's even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happens with KO and Roman? Are they relegated? But see, again, this is what makes it so entertaining and keep us guessing is because everyone was saying Sami Zayn KO versus the Usos at Mania. Look, Jay's out of the bloodline. Maybe it's Jay. Is it Jay against Jimmy? Does Roman have him go after Jimmy? Like,
I don't know. I think that's the part of the storyline that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
I kind of hope it doesn't go that way. I feel like to waste the Sami Zayn.
What do you mean? If like they go tag?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going that way now. I really don't.
I don't think the fans want it to. I don't think anybody wants it to. I think WWE, they hopefully have their ear to the ground, to the pavement, to the ear to the what?
Ear to the ground works.
Ear to the ground?
Ear to the ground works.
Because they got their ear to the ground on this one.
Yeah.
Put the pussies on the pavement.
What?
Was that from Superman?
I just didn't expect it. I don't even know where to go. I had a thought and now I don't because I heard pussies in the pavement and I don't know where to go.
My job's done.
Yeah, so let's wrap up there because that's where we're ending. Pussies in the pavement is a perfect place to end. So what are we going to be talking about next week?
You tell me.
I have no idea.
I'm sure.
I have no idea.
Like what we had about.
Great filler for the last 5 weeks with the road to Raw 30 and now...
We got to put the thinking caps back on.
Yeah,
we
got to
put those ears back on the ground.
Not that WWE will not be entertaining on the road to WrestleMania. I'm sure we'll have something to talk about.
Plenty to talk about. Maybe we get some guests.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we definitely got to do that. We got to reach out to some people, see who we can talk to, get some actual wrestler opinions and what they think of what's going on and stuff like
maybe
that.
Maybe we can pull some strings. We'll get a WWE superstar. Superstar.
I don't think we will. So until next time, we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you very soon. Thanks for watching and listening.